that we would have a mini concert, but that ain't it. Amen. They're coming back. It got awful quiet there. I tell you what, I enjoy these guys. I ran out there and got my cassette before everybody got gone, and they're not a cassette anymore, are they? What do you call those? There was no cassettes. There was no 8-tracks either. So all they got left is CDs. If you guys want one, see them afterwards, and they're glorious. I'm going to be very brief tonight, and what I want to share, they just summed up in just a few minutes. And we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to speak to you just a moment about perseverance in times of trouble. And I'll be in Hebrews chapter 12. We have some folks came all the way from L.A. today. Lower Alabama. I mean way down there in Lower Alabama, plumb down on the coast. We went down there to visit and we got lost. And they've got some names down there in Lower Alabama. They're long. They take a whole page. And we were turned around and we couldn't pronounce it, didn't know where we were. And so I sent Pam inside to ask directions. And she said, "Can you tell me real slow where we're at?" And the lady looked at her and said, "Burger King." That didn't really happen, but she told me I could tell y'all that it did. All right, we're going to turn to Hebrews. If you would, let's share together here in verses 1 through 3. And therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumberment and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not be discouraged and lose heart. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the testimony and song already, Lord. And Lord, we know that in this life we do have tribulations. And Lord, we just thank you that you give us the strength through Jesus to overcome. And Lord, we just pray your blessings tonight as we hear from you in praise, and that we can encourage one another. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pam shared with us in Sunday school class this morning a little devotional about the devil having a yard sale. And said he went over there and he had anger and envy and jealousy and deceit marked down really cheap. You could buy them for like 2 for a quarter or something other. They were just unbelievably cheap. And then they got over there to the one that said discouragement. And man, they wanted big money for that. And so they asked the devil, "Why is that so high?" And he says, "Because that is my greatest weapon." And I want to tell you, if he can discourage you, if he can slow you down, he's going to do it. And we don't need to let that happen. And I shared with you this morning that success is often determined by how much discouragement you can overcome. And tonight I want to share with you some things that I think will help you to overcome in your time of discouragement. As Paul was talking about this particular passage, he talked about, first of all, fixing our eyes on Jesus. First and foremost, that's what we have to do. And think about what he done. Think about the burden that he carried for us and what he did on the cross, and consider him that done this for us. Consider the fact that he loved us enough to do that, but also consider to him the fact that he rose from the grave and he's coming to get all those who follow him, and it's going to be glorious at the end. It's not always going to be hardships and heartaches. And we need to remember that the course that God gave us in this life is not a 100-yard dash, but it's a multi-marathon that goes on and on with a lot of obstacles that we'll have to face as we go. It's never an easy journey. And the Lord tells us that as we go through this, sometimes you may feel like you're going through a demolition derby. Some weeks are like that. Some days are like that. But there's hope at the end of the rainbow. And God tells us that we're to persevere. And the word persevere means to remain under where you are. Now, I want you to think about that. That means you don't go looking for another course. You don't go looking for an easy way out. You don't go looking for a way to do it. But you stay under the course and do what God has called you to do. And that's what perseverance is all about. You know, it's easy to stand up here and say that. And you can look in and up here and say, "Well, you don't have a clue what I'm going through." You know, and I don't. Some of you I do because we've shared and we've prayed together, and the Bible says to bear one another's burdens. But the fact of the matter is God does know. He knows everything that's happened, and he knew it was going to be to happen there. And he gave us some great examples. As he said here, he gave us a great cloud of witnesses that we can look to and see how they handled it. And I think Paul is probably the best example that we can look at in the entire Bible, because Paul had a rough way to go. I want you to imagine that you've been called on a pulpit committee and your name is Ananias. And the Lord calls you and says, Ananias? He says, yes, Lord. He says, tell you what I'm going to do. There's a guy named Saul going to show up, and I want you to go over to the city of Straight, and I want you to go over and knock on his door, because he's seen in a vision that you're coming, and I want you to go over there and lay hands on him that he can receive his sight. And can you imagine the reaction as he said, you've got to be kidding. The guy that has persecuted us, that has caused beatings and people stoned, why, have you lost your mind, Lord? And he says, no, I'm not kidding you. He's the chosen vessel. He's the one that I'm calling, and I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. And I'm going to send him to the kings and to the Gentiles and to our people as well. He's the one that I want. Now I want you to fast forward to Acts 26, and Paul is talking to a king toward the end of his journey, and it's King Agrippa, and he begins telling him his story. He said, I was on my way to Damascus when I was stricken down by a bright light, and I was blinded, and I fell down, and I heard the voice of saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who is this, Lord? And he said, it is Jesus, the one who you've been persecuting. And then in verse 16, he says, get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will show to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that you might turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins as an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And that all sounds good, but one word to me. I mean, I like the part of going and getting to share the gospel and tell people about being saved, but he has to throw in that part about rescue. Now, if there's a rescue, that means you're in trouble. They ain't going to send you out just to say hello. Something bad is going to happen. And Paul was an expert in discouragement, in trouble, and in suffering. And we think about all the things we go through, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase this, and I want to lead you a list as if Paul was talking here today, and we're going back and forth, and I say, let me tell you about what's going on. And Paul would say, you think you got a tough ministry? I've worked harder. I've been in prison many times. I can't count the times I've been beaten up, often in danger of death. 5 times I've received 39 lashes from the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and night I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. How'd y'all like to get in the car and go on a road trip with him? You know, it reminds me one time of a sign they said was on a golf course at the bulletin board, and they said they had lost a little black and white dog. He had only 1 ear, 1 eye, 3 legs, and he answered to the name of Lucky. Kind of sounds like Paul a little bit, don't it? But he goes on to say, in 2 Corinthians, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. You know, I can still remember in school one time we were sharing about somebody and he made a statement. He said, you know, I felt really bad that I had no shoes until I saw a man that had no feet. And if we just look around and think about no matter how bad the times are, we are blessed. You don't have to look far to find out that God has blessed us in more ways than we can imagine. But Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things." It's really easy to read that and just go right on by it. But you need to stop back. Paul was on his way. He was on the political ladder. He was a Pharisee. He was intelligent. He had the best schooling. He had everything going from him. And when he walked away to turn to Jesus, that whole career, everything he had worked for all his life was gone. All his friends, all his family, everything he knew was gone. He lost it all to follow Jesus. And the worst part of that was that nobody that he was going to work with in the future, none of them trusted him because he had this terrible reputation. So he had nowhere to turn to at the beginning but to the Lord. When he says, "I lost all things," he meant it. But then he goes on to say, "And I count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." In other words, he said, "If I got Christ, that's all that matters. I don't need the rest. And I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." He says four things here, "that I may know him." That's the most important. You know, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." If you don't have that, you don't have nothing. Everything is gone. He said, that's number one. Number two, the power of his resurrection. Man, I want you to think about that. This is said by a guy who saw people come back to life after he had preached them to death. This is a man that God had delivered from all these things that I told you. It was the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And he said, man, it's awesome to walk in the power of the resurrection of Christ and to let him live through you. And he said, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now that one don't make a lot of sense. I would love the power, but I don't know about y'all, but I just do not have all those sufferings. But it's through those sufferings that you come to know him. That's when he draws us together. That's when he shines. That's when we can't give up and we're ready to throw in the towel and we're discouraged that he shines through. It's during the sufferings. And then he said, being conformed to his death. Now, when you look at that, and you can do all the theologians and all that stuff and look up, and you know what I think he meant? I think he meant exactly what he said in Galatians. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He followed him totally. He surrendered all. Now, with all that said, I'm going to share with you four practical things real quick and then I'm done. Philippians 4:4. We could do a whole message, but I'm going to give you the gist of this as I was blessed to hear it the other day and then prayed about it. And this is what God says to me. Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." This is number one. When he said always, he meant always. He's talking about being in prison at midnight and singing and praying hymns, and God shakes the whole place, wakes them up, and we know the story as the Philippian jailer who got saved. He meant always. I bet you when he was out there, they didn't need one of them little beepers with a little light on it when he was in the ocean. I bet he was singing. I bet he was praising. He said always, he meant always. That's what God tells us to do. He tells us, he gives us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Don't ever forget that. When you're down and out and discouraged, he gives you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. We sang the sacrifice of praise just a while ago. I want to tell you something. When everything's wonderful and good, it's no sacrifice to praise God. It's when you're so oppressed that you're sick at your stomach and you don't even want to get up the next morning or face the world. That's when it becomes a sacrifice. And when you do that, that's when it brings glory to God, because you ain't doing it because you want to. You're doing it because he told you to do and you're following him. And when you do it, I want to tell you something. The devil will flee. He says, draw near God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He hates it. When he's got you down and out, discouraged, and you start praising, he can't stand it. I want you to think about it. Satan, who had to leave heaven, most people feel like he was the worship leader there. He was a perfect worship leader, had pipes and all these things, and you can read and understand. And whether or not he was actually the choir director of heaven, we don't know, but we know for a fact that he got kicked out and took a third of the angels because he couldn't stand everybody worshiping God, and he wanted them to worship him. He cannot stand it. It's like in your face, devil, when he's got you down and out and you begin praising him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Try it. Try it and see what happens. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. If we did a study on the tabernacle, or if you ever looked at a picture, the gates are on the outside. Anybody can walk through the gates. You can get in that, but you can't get into the courts unless you're somebody, unless you're clean, unless you're purified. You know why? Because that's where God was. And he said, that's where you enter into him. That's when you praise him. That's when you have that closeness. It's when you enter into his gates with praise. Verse 5, he says, be gentle in your spirit and let it be known to all men the Lord is near. I'm just going to sum that up. Don't get mad, get glad. It's real easy when things are out to get bitter and angry and hurtful. God says, no, you just have a gentle spirit. The Lord is near. You know, recently as my quiet time has become 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning that I wake up every day and we pray, and one morning I sit there and I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? And I'm reading the Psalms and I'm just listening to what he says, and that still small voice says, I've got you back. Don't worry, I've got you back. The Lord is near. And it's that gentle voice and that quiet spirit when you humble yourself and you draw near him that you're going to hear him. And you're going to get that reassurance that you need for the time in trouble. And then verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I hate this word, patience. There ain't no way around it. You know, when I first went to my first day in Nepal and we started up those mountains, I thought, well, I'll show these guys how to do that. And my legs is longer and I'm taller, and I took off running up those mountains. And I got up there 300 or 400 yards. I thought I was going to die. Gosh, my chest was burning and it was hurting. And they was just kind of like this, just easing along. It was the story of the tortoise and the hare, and they walked right by me while I'm still there trying to breathe. Patience. Pace yourself. That's the way a marathon runs. You know, you ain't going to do it in one day. You have to wait upon the Lord and wait upon him. Give him the time to work through your situation. Remember that it's the fire, going through the fire where you're tempered, and those times of hard times that God works on you. Paul said it this way in Romans 5. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And again, I'd remind you, it's not a marathon. It is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. And it's uphill, and it's downhill, and there's no shortcuts, and there's no free rides. And Jesus summed it up like this: I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. Follow me. And he'll get you there. He'll get you there. He'll get you through it. And he'll get you there safely. And Paul says, he makes a promise here. He said, if you will do this, he said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. True peace comes from knowing God is in control. Amen. Because if we're in control, we're in big trouble. True peace comes from knowing God is control. The difficulty is getting out of his way and letting him do it. Paul said it this way: we have a treasure, the surpassing greatness of the power of God, not ourselves. He gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, and to help us every step of the way. And then verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, if there is any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." And then in verse 9, another promise. He says, "These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me." You've seen what I've been through. You've seen me go through the fire. You know I know what I'm talking about. And he said, "Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. I'm going to sum it up real quick. I can't. He can. Will you let him do it? To look around is to be distressed. To look within is to be depressed. To look to God is to be blessed. I can't. He can. Will you let him do it? Let's stand together. I'm going to ask you that tonight, as we begin to pray, and I'm just going to ask you to pray for the ones right beside you. Just take a moment and lift them up to the Lord. First to your left and then to your right. Let's just pray for one another for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come to your throne of grace, knowing that we can find grace and mercy in your time of need, and that we have a high priest that has been tempted at all points just like us, yet remained without sin, we know you know. And Lord, you love us anyway. And Father, as we pray for one another tonight, Lord, I just pray your peace and your loving arms surround them. Lord, that we would come to the point that we'd understand we can't do it and we have to let you, to surrender our lives to you. Lord, that's salvation. That's peace. And Lord, as Paul said, it's the greatest treasure ever. And Lord, you've made it possible that by trusting in you, we can rejoice even in the darkest hour just before the dawn. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, now as we have a special time of invitation, if there's anyone who just needs special prayer or special touch, someone needs to come and give their life to you, or Lord, just something on their heart, Lord, just minister as only you can. And Father, I would pray this in your name. Amen. Todd's going to